Will the Senate please come to order? Will the members please vote to...
Majority, you're back, just a minute.
Brief at ease. Will the members please vote to signify their presence?
The roll shows 20 members present.
Please stand for the invocation by the chaplain, Pastor Sue Bahia of Resurrection Lutheran Church.
With respect to the diversity of voices, beliefs, and practices that call out in prayer to a power beyond our individual selves, I offer the following. Wise and generous one, we thank you. In your love, you have given us this great land. Grant us wisdom and reverence to use the resources of nature so that no one will suffer from our abuse of them, and that generations yet to come continue to praise you for your bounty. Guide us with your mercy as we remember those who suffer want and anxiety, that their needs may be satisfied out of the abundance you first gave us. Wise and generous one, we thank you. In your love, you have given each of us unique gifts and have called us into specific occupations, relationships, and activities using those gifts. Enable these men and women who have been called into leadership and all those who support them to use their gifts faithfully to do the work before them. Empower them to work for what is good and just. In their mission, give them diligence, compassion, and hope. In their conversation, give them courage, patience, and vision. In their service, give them energy, peace, and joy. Wise and generous one, we thank you. Amen.
Senator Terry, will you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the Secretary please certify the journal?
I certify as to the correctness of the journals for the 35th and 36th legislative days.
Senator Ellis.
Good morning, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal be approved as certified by the Senate Secretary.
Without objection, so ordered. Senator Hoffman.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
Without objection, so ordered. A guest for introduction. Senator Elton.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two guests this morning, and I'm going to start with the youngest. Actually, I'm not sure I should have said that, and I apologize to the second guest, but I think you'll all understand why I'm introducing him as the youngest. To the left of our chambers, the tall young gentleman standing over near the coffee pot is John Reed. He's a guest page today. He loves to downhill ski, fish, and hike. It's notable that he also took fourth place in Southeast in his weight class wrestling. His mom is interning for a member of the other body, and I don't know, we're on TV, so I'm not sure I should say the other part of the prepared remarks that I was given. That he seems to be glad to be skipping school to be here with us today. If the body could welcome John. And my second guest is not much older, Mr. Chair. Behind, in the gallery behind me is Bobby McCoy. She's a Juneau resident. Moved here from Anchorage 6 or 7 years ago. She's with the UAS Staff Council. She's working in the UAS Chancellor's Office here out at the Ock Bay campus. And like many of my constituents, she's also very active in the community, including, in this case, being a volunteer for Capital City Fire and Rescue. If you could welcome Bobby to the chambers.
Senator Stedman. Thank you, Mr. President. With me, or behind me today, is Bobby McCrary from Ketchikan. She could please stand. She's an 11-year resident of the community. She's volunteer administrator for the Ketchikan Youth Initiative and serves in the UAS Ketchikan Community Advisory Council. In her brief little note, she pointed out that she's very supportive of training our youth. So when the state of Alaska goes forward, we have... all skilled young adults coming into the workforce. And with that, I'd like the Senate to give her a warm welcome.
Thank you, Senator Bundy. Thank you, Mr. President. I have three guests to introduce today, and I'd ask them to stand as I call their name, and if we could hold our applause until I've introduced all three, I would appreciate it. First, I'd like to introduce Judy Stewart. Judy's our LIO officer in Anchorage, the go-to person for all problems, big and small, in our ILO, and probably one of her most significant achievements is she's very kind to my staff, Jane. We also have Julie Martinez. Julie's from Anchorage. She's a U of AA supporter. She works in governance. She's a donor, an employee of the university, and involved works for university advancement. Also, we have Joey Merrick. Joey is a business manager for Labor's Local 341 in Eagle River. He's the president of the District Council of Labor's. Could we all please welcome those three to Juneau?
Senator Terrio.
Mr. President, I have two guests to introduce. First of all, Eileen Herman, who is with the Delta Junction LIO and helps keep the citizens there in tune with what's going on in the district. Is Eileen? And then second, Rick Sikma, who is from North Pole. Rick has been involved in local politics. I believe he's actually indicated that he intends to run for the borough assembly and wanted to take a little bit of time to come down and figure out exactly how the local government interacts with the state government. So I'm pleased that Rick's going to be here in Juneau for the week, if you could help me welcome him.
Thank you, Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's my pleasure this morning to also introduce three guests. I believe they're all here. I'm not sure if they'd please rise as I call their names, and if you would wait for applause till I've introduced them all. First is Melba Peacepannon, and is Melba on the other side? She's not here. Yes, no? No? Okay, very good. Anyhow, that's too bad. Secondly, Dr. Jennifer McBeth and Glenn Brady. Dr. Jennifer McBeth is the Alaska seed potato expert, and she is the individual who single-handedly, as a plant pathologist and biotechnology person at UAF, developed the procedures for lab testing, and her efforts over the past 20 years allowed Alaska to become the only state in the world to be able to export seed potatoes to Taiwan and China. She is a recipient of the Usabelli Award and the Intown and Gown Award. And Glenn Brady is a longtime Fairbanks resident, the president of our local Silver Gulch Brewing Company. He is a second-generation sheet metal worker as well, and his family-owned business has been around for a long time. He's past chairman of the Alaska Char, a licensed professional mechanical engineer, and serves a great deal of other purposes within the community. So if you'd join me in welcoming both of them to Juneau and the Senate, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you. Brief at ease. Please, Senator French.
Thank you, and good morning, Mr. President. I do have one constituent I'd like to introduce to the body behind me in the Ziegler Gallery, if she would stand up, as Kim Stanford. She's a lifelong Alaskan, in fact, born here in the capital city of Juneau. She's completing her fourth year as president of the UAA Assembly. She's also pursuing a degree in management. She's a big supporter of the university, as I know you are as well. I just want to give us the opportunity to welcome her to the State Senate.
Thank you. Senator Davis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also would like to introduce one of my constituents who also is an employee for Legislative Information Office in Anchorage, and that is Mike Wanda. And I want to say that not only Wanda himself, but all the staff there in the office is just so helpful to us and our constituents. So we're glad to have him in town, and I would like for you to help me welcome him. Not only do he assist the people that are in Anchorage, but also in the Mat-Su area as well. Please help me welcome Mike Wanda.
Thank you. Senator Ryan.
Good morning, Mr. President. It's an honor for me. Behind me in the
the gallery here to have two constituents and one of my younger constituents who has come down now to Juneau. This is his third trip. His name is Brendan Boyles, and he's 9 years old. He's in the third grade. He's a self-advocate superstar, and he's in his fourth year, actually, sorry, it's the third, of coming to Juneau with Key Campaign. He's very funny. He'll make you laugh within the first few minutes of talking to him. And outgoing, he loves to read, and he plays the piano. He's big brother to Emma and Ben, and he really, guys, if you get a chance to talk to him, he's such an advocate for his interest. His mother is Julia Broyles. She's a special education teacher, and she also serves us on the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education. And again, our special education teachers are in short supply and so important. So please help me give them a warm welcome.
Senator Ellis.
Mr. President, it's a privilege this morning to introduce some guests from your district. I know you're very proud to have some folks from Senate District R in the galleries today. We'll begin first with some PTA advocates. Lynn Hull is from the Alaska PTA Region 7 Vice President. She hails from Seward, a 38-year resident and 25-year PTA member. And her colleague is Cindy Pack of Seward, PTSA President, mother of two, Alaska resident for 8 years. Big advocates for public education, please help me welcome them today. And Mr. President, some folks from Cooper Landing are with us today. First is Mona Painter. Second is her compatriot, Maine Onemus. And I had a little trepidation about this introduction, Mr. President. They are self-described, this is their description, sexy senior dumpster divers. And you'll have to catch up with them later about the details of all of their exploits. They are in town promoting Campfire, in particular Campfire Girls, one of our favorite programs. Please help me welcome Mona and Maine. And Mr. President, you have a guest page today from District R. It's Nicholas Dakota Plush, if Nicholas can step forward. Nicholas is a senior at Seward High School, participates in drama, and last played Mr. Gerby in You Can't Take It With You, plays the bass guitar in the school pep band, planning to attend the University of Alaska Southeast, field of study and major undecided at this point, in town for the PTA fly-in. Please help us welcome Nicholas Dakota Plush. And Mr. President, on my own behalf, I want to introduce to the body my wonderful staff that are serving with me this year. I couldn't have a better staff. I'm very, very pleased with their work so far. I don't want them to get the big head and slack off with my praise today, but I'm going to ask my staff in the Senator Ziegler's gallery to stand as I call their name. First is Jesse Crosscall. Many of you know Jesse. He's done a fine job helping me with my majority leader leadership roles. It's a job I held 24 years ago for the House Majority Leader over on the other side. Following Jesse is Max Hensley of Anchorage. He helps me on the Finance Committee. He's doing a terrific job. Next is Amory LeLake, helping me with health and human service issues, doing a fine job there. And Nick Moe, helping me with university issues and a variety of other things. Please help me welcome my wonderful staff.
Thank you, Senator Higgins.
Thank you, Mr. President. Next, I'm going to introduce an individual that's from the agricultural breadbasket of Alaska, better known as Matsu Valley. This person is proverbially has carried the guidon for agriculture in the valley for almost 30 years. And he does carry the guidon for export potatoes and growing and expertise and all those sorts of things. And the beauty of it, there's six of them. Addition to him, his wife, and five children. And so I'd ask the body to welcome Mr. Keith Moore from the Breadbasket of Alaska.
Welcome to all of our guests. Messages from the governor?
There are no messages from the governor, Mr. President.
Messages from the House?
I have no messages from the House.
Communications?
Report from the Commissioner of the Department of Administration, dated February 17th, was received, stating the monetary terms for the letters of agreement reached between the state and the Alaska State Employees Association, representing the General Government Bargaining Unit, and the Alaska Public Employees Association, representing the Supervisory Bargaining Unit and the Confidential Bargaining Unit, in accordance with AS 2340-215.
Referred to the Finance Committee.
Report from the Commissioner of the Department of Administration dated February 17th was received, stating the monetary terms for the collective bargaining agreement reached between the state and the International Organization of Masters, Mates, and Pilots in accordance with AS 2340-215.
Refer to the Finance Committee.
The following reports have been received. Alaska Legislative Report, results for the Retiree Return Program enacted by House Bill 161 in 2005 on the Public Employees and Teachers Retirement System, from Annette Kreitzer, Commissioner, Department of Administration, in accordance with Chapter 50, SLA 2005. Alaska Legislature 2008 Salary and Business Expense Report from Legislative Affairs Agency, in accordance with AS 2410-120B. I have no further communications.
Reports of standing committees.
The Labor and Commerce Committee considered Senate Bill No. 1, Alaska Minimum Wage, and recommends the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute, New Zero Fiscal Note, signing due pass, Senator Pascvan, Chair, Senators Meyer, Thomas, Davis, signing amend, Senator Bundy. The bill has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The State Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill No. 19, Complaints Against Peace Officers, VPSOs, and recommends adoption of the previous Community and Regional Affairs Committee substitute, previous Zero Fiscal Note. Signing due pass, Senator Menard, Chair, Senator French. Signing no recommendation, Senator Kukesh. Signing amend, Senators Pascvan, Meyer. The bill has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The State Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill No. 50, Iditarod Registration Plates, New Zero Fiscal Note. Signing due pass, Senator Menard, Chair, Senators French, Meyer, Pascvan, Kukesh. The bill has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Health and Social Services Committee considered Senate Bill No. 52, Salvia Divinorum as Controlled Substance, New Indeterminate and Zero Fiscal Notes. Signing no recommendation, Senator Davis, Chair, Senators Ellis, Pascvan. Signing due pass, Senator Dyson. Signing amend, Senator Thomas. The bill has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Transportation Committee considered Senate Bill No. 111, Intrastate Air Service Certificates, New Zero Fiscal Note, signing due pass, Senator Kukesh, Chair, Senators Menard, Davis, Meyer, Pascvan. The bill has no further referral. It is in the Rules Committee. The State Affairs Committee considered Senate Joint Resolution No. 6, Oppose H.R. 45 in Congress, and recommends a State Affairs Committee substitute. New Zero Fiscal Note. Signing due pass, Senator Menard, Chair, Senator Meyer. Signing no recommendation, Senator Kukesh. Signing amend, Senators French, Pascvan. The bill has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. Those are all the standing committee reports.
Thank you. Reports of special committees?
I have no special committee reports.
Introduction of Senate resolutions.
Senate Joint Resolution No. 8 by Senator Menard, proposing amendments to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to a program of honorarium payments for Alaska residents who were residents of the Territory of Alaska.
Refer to State Affairs, Judiciary, and Finance.
Senate Joint Resolution No. 9 by the Senate Finance Committee, proposing amendments to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to and limiting appropriations from the Alaska Permanent Fund based on an averaged percent of the fund market value to protect the fund from an inflation and assure that the real value of the fund will be preserved over the long term.
Referred to Finance.
Those are all the resolutions for introduction.
Introduction of Senate bills.
Senate Bill No. 123 by the Senate Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act making supplemental appropriations and capital appropriations, amending appropriations, and providing for an effective date.
Finance.
Senate Bill No. 124 by the Senate Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act relating to the authorization for the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities to participate in the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009 and providing for an effective date.
Finance.
Those are all the Senate bills for introduction.
Consideration of the daily calendar.
Mr. President.
Senator Kukesh.
Could I go back to introduction of guests, please?
Yeah, it's not an objection. I'll go back to introduction of guests, Senator Kukesh.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have three individuals I'd like to introduce who work with the legislative information offices in my district, and they're very wonderful young ladies, and they do a wonderful job for all of us, and I really appreciate them being here in the capital city this week. I'd like to introduce Jan Jackson, who's from the Polk Legislative Information Office, and she's in the gallery right behind there, believe. Oh,
with the Blair.
I'm sorry. They got divided up here, but I'd like to introduce two other individuals before we recognize them. Emily Frisbee from Glen Allen, Legislative Information Office. Michelle Han O'Leary from the Cordova Legislative Information Office. Would the body please join me to welcome these fine young ladies to Juneau?
Senator Terrio.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think I introduced Eileen Herman earlier, but she was not here, so Eileen is here now. So if you can give her another round of applause, because she does a great job for us in the Delta Junction LIO. Thank you.
Brief at ease. Oh, I'm sorry. Mayor Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. President. It is my honor and pleasure to introduce Melba Peace-Pannon, if she can make her way a little further forward. She finally arrived. Melba is a 36-year resident of Fairbanks and is the stalwart leader at the Fairbanks Legislative Information Office. Very able and capable and contributes greatly to the smooth operation of the office, and we appreciate all she does. And if you would help me welcome her to Juneau and the Senate, I'd appreciate it.
Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have another guest to introduce today, also from the Legislative Information Office, only this one is in Anchorage, in my town. Ms. Jody Jakes is here. She's over in the Grove Gallery. She's one of the Legislative Information Assistants there. She does a great job. Please help her feel welcome here in the Senate.
Thank you, Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I am very happy on your behalf to introduce three fine folks who are in town for the statewide LIO training. I know you appreciate the good work that they do at their respective LIOs in your district. First is Lorna Steelman of the Kodiak LIO, followed by Charlene Ditton of the Homer LIO, and Mariana Kyle of the Seward LIO. Please help welcome these fine folks from Senate District R.
Thank you. Senator Millard.
Thank you, Mr. President. It is a great pleasure for Senator Huggins and myself to introduce in the Grove Gallery Julie Dickerson and Judy Arotho, and they are 5 years' experience with us, and they're doing a great job. Please help me give a warm Senate welcome to them.
Thank you for the introductions. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. President. In the Ziegler Gallery, I'm glad to go ahead and have a number of individuals that are from the LIO in the district that I serve. First of all is we have Angelique Horton. You step up, please, from the Nome LIO. Her husband works for the DOT. Next, we have Sonia Schaefer, and her husband Calvin is the airport manager there in Kotzebue. We're very grateful for him, especially when we have hearings and we want to try to get out during this last weekend. And we have Bill Rohan, who's from Barrow. So we have two people from north of the Arctic Circle, and Bill's wife, Myrna, works as the bank manager up in Barrow. With that, please help me welcome them.
Free meetings. Senator Ellis.
Mr. President, while these gals are in the gallery, we want to reintroduce in Senator Ziegler's gallery some special guests from your district, Senate District R. They are Cooper Landing residents. I'm proud of it. Ms. Mona Painter and Mame Onemus, some fine young ladies from the Kenai Peninsula. They are the self-described sexy senior dumpster divers. You all will have to take it upon yourselves to get the details of that. And their famous exploits. They are in town promoting Campfire Girls, one of our favorite nonprofit groups. Please help welcome Mona and Mame.
Thank you for the introduction of guests. We'll move back down to the consideration of the daily calendar.
Senate Bill number 72 by Senators French Pasquin, an act relating to use of child safety seats and seat belts. The Transportation Committee considered the bill. New Zero Fiscal Note, signing DuPass, Senator Kukesh, Chair, Senators Menard, Davis, Meyer, Pasquin. The State Affairs Committee considered the bill and recommended a State Affairs Committee substitute, previous Zero Fiscal Note, signing DuPass, Senator Menard, Chair, Senators French, Meyer, Pasquin, Kukesh. There is a State Affairs Committee substitute.
Senator Bernard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that the State Affairs Committee substitute be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the State Affairs Committee substitute is adopted.
I have no amendments.
Senator Ellis.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for Senate Bill 72, State Affairs, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, so ordered. Under discussion.
CS for Senate Bill Number 72, State Affairs, an act relating to use of child safety seat and seat belts.
Thank you. Under discussion, Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a few words about the bill so that the body and the public knows what we're doing this morning. This bill has been considered by this body in the past. Last year it was considered and got good treatment here in the Senate. It's essentially the same bill. It's about booster seats for children that are in the ages where they're just a little bit too big for a child safety seat and yet too small to be effectively and safely restrained by a seat belt. The booster seat lifts the child up just a little bit so that the shoulder belt adequately restrains them. The figures and facts on this policy decision really support the bill. Of the 61 children under the age of 8 injured in auto accidents in Alaska between 2001 and 2005, only 5 were considered properly restrained by federal standards. 2/3 of those children between the ages of 4 to 8, making the injured too large for a car seat but too small for an adult seatbelt. I'd point out that there's a wide range of advocacy groups that support this bill. Safe Kids Alaska, the Alaska chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics, and the Alaska Brain Injury Network all support the bill. Also by industry, the Alaska auto dealers support the bill. And one of the points that they made, I think, was really just dead on. I'd like to briefly read from their letter of support, if I may, with the permission of the body. Point out that they said that as automobile dealers, we can assure you that no vehicle manufacturer recommends placing a small 4-year-old child in a seatbelt only. Doing so could result in serious injury or death to the child. In closing, I'll point out that this bill and the passage of this bill will make us eligible for $200,000 in federal highway funds, a portion of which will be used to help people that can't afford a booster seat do so. They're about $20 at local stores. We bought one last year to bring it in front of the committee, and with that, I'll sit down and hope that the body passes this bill.
Thank you. Further discussion? Senator Terrio.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm wondering if the prime sponsor can just give us an indication the changes in the State Affairs version, and he said it was substantially similar to the bill that passed last year. I've got the sponsor statement from that bill, but I didn't have the text. I'm just wondering if you can give us an indication from what we voted on last year, you know, what are the differences?
Senator French.
Thank you. Changes made in the State Affairs Committee, on page 1, line 15, we changed the phrase over 20 pounds to read 20 pounds or more. Now, you probably have to spend the rest of your life trying to figure out what the difference is there, but that was recommended by the Department of Transportation's chief counsel to make it extra clear that children who weigh 20 pounds or more require the use of a child restraint device. A similarly monumental change was made on page 2, line 12. We changed not yet 16 years of age to less than 16 years of age. In commenting on that, it struck me that the phrase not yet 16 is something my grandfather would have said, and I think we're just moving it into vernacular that's a little more familiar to those of us that will be reading the bill and working with it should it become law. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator French. Senator Terrio.
And any changes between this and last year's version?
Senator French.
I guess I'm going to say that I'm not certain that's properly before us. It's my view that it's not exactly, but very, very similar. And if we really need to go into it in great detail, I'd have to take an ad ease to pull up old copy.
Thank you, Senator French. Further discussion? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. President. As we look at this bill here, and as a medical doctor, I can certainly advocate for something like this where you're dealing with children, especially when they're in an accident. Nothing is more heartbreaking than to see somebody that's been busted up, as was evidenced by an accident that happened here recently. But also, as a rural legislator, I'm wondering what effect it's going to have on those drivers and those car children that are out in rural Alaska Obviously, here you can run down to the local Fred Meyer, and as was pointed out by the previous speaker, you can go ahead and buy something for $20, but I can guarantee you, out there in Shaktulikin and Shishmaref, you can't go down to the local store and buy one of these child seats for $20, if you even get it at all. And so I was wondering what kind of restriction it has on vehicles out in rural Alaska and even in Nome there, where it's more of a metropolitan area, but still has access problems to things like the availability of child seats.
Thank you, Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And to the senator from Nome, I'll say that the senator from the district senator from Angoon raised similar issues during the committee process. We were able to satisfy his concerns. The bill will apply wherever the seatbelt law applies. And if the seatbelt law doesn't apply, then there's no need to have a child booster seat there either. We feel like the mail system works fairly well in the state, the ability to order a booster seat from a different part of the state will help those folks that are not connected to a road system that goes to a Walmart. We'll let them acquire a booster seat. Moreover, there will be help should the bill become law from the federal government in the form of aid to help acquire booster seats. And I think those two points sort of satisfy the concerns. It doesn't apply to four-wheelers, doesn't apply to snow machines, doesn't apply to non-traditional or non-highway type vehicles. So it's strictly for cars and trucks and so forth. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion? The question being, shall CS for Senate Bill 72 State Affairs pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Have all senators voted? The secretary will lock the roll. Do any senators wish to change their vote? The secretary will record the vote. The secretary will tally the vote.
19 yeas, 0 nays.
And so CS for Senate Bill 72 State Affairs has passed the Senate.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 1 by Senator McGuire, relating to establishing March 2009 as Brain Injury Awareness Month. The Health and Social Services Committee considered the resolution, New Zero Fiscal Note, signing due pass, Senator Davis, Chair, Senators Ellis, Pascvan.
The resolution is before the Senate in final passage. Is there discussion? Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. President. In just a moment to speak on it, we do these resolutions, and often their goal is to raise awareness, and so I want to speak about it here on the floor. There'll be many activities associated with Brain Injury Month in our various communities. SCR1 aims to raise awareness about brain injuries, specifically traumatic brain injuries, and the impact that they have on Alaskans and their families by establishing March 2009 as Brain Injury Awareness Month. And Mr. President, this comports with the National Brain Injury Awareness Month, so there'll be a lot of information that will be shared with Alaskans throughout the month, tracking national statistics and how brain injuries is impacting other people in the world. A traumatic brain injury is an injury to the head that that results in a disruption of normal brain functioning. They're life-altering and can place a tremendous strain on survivors and their family. And so the Brain Injury Awareness Network and other providers are aiming to talk to Alaskans about this next month, it's not only prevention, but what to do if someone in your family or yourself endures a brain injury, how to get that kind of treatment that you need, the rehabilitation. And unfortunately, Alaska, being as young as we are, still don't have a lot of the services that other places have, so we continue to work on that. The TBI survivors live with permanent disabilities, and the tragedy that I want to highlight today that we have with so many of the things we deal with in the Senate is that these kinds of injuries are wholly preventable. And so there are things that are not and there are things that are, and whatever we can do here in our service to help raise awareness in our communities so that fewer people, fewer Alaskans end up suffering these life-altering, really tragic disabilities, Mr. President, we want to do. Sadly, Alaska, again, is number one in a category we don't want to be. We are number one in the nation as a state for per capita brain injuries. And traumatic brain injury is the leading cause of death for young people in our state. So in our whole state, and all those young people, traumatic brain injury is that leading cause. So, again, anything that we can do to help our young people prevent those life-altering accidents, we want to. There are over 800 traumatic brain injuries reported in Alaska, and an estimated 12,000 Alaskans have suffered. But, Mr. President and members of this body, we know that those numbers are very low. We know that traumatic brain injury continues to be a silent epidemic. Often people who suffer a brain injury aren't even aware of its a permanent impact, so it's not reported. We still don't have a management system by which traumatic brain injured Alaskans are triaged, and so we know that that's a very low number of statistics. The 2005 statistics are what we're relying on. We're continuing to gather data, and I think we're going to see them sadly escalate in part. The final thing I want to say here today, Mr. President, in part, the escalation is due to our young men and women that are serving our country. And we have many of them that are from our state that are returning back here to live. And according to a task force on traumatic brain injury created by the Army Surgeon General, as many as 1 in 5 of U.S. combat troops who fought in both Iraq or Afghanistan leave with some signs of a traumatic brain injury. The Walter Reed Army Medical Center has reported that 60% of arriving service members from Iraq have suffered a traumatic brain injury from blasts, severe falls, and from motor vehicle accidents, all serving us in their line of duty. Traumatic brain injury screening at the National Naval Medical Center shows that 83% of wounded Marines treated at that facility have some form of temporary or permanent brain damage. And so I bring that statistic forward to us today to keep as a constant reminder that we do have Alaskans and certainly that are serving our country that will be returning back to our communities with these traumatic brain injuries, and anything that we can do, Mr. President, to augment the kind of rehabilitation services they get, an outreach for vocational and family support for them, we certainly want to do. So thank you for your time, and thank you for the support this body continues to show every year in honoring March as Traumatic Brain Injury Awareness Month.
Thank you, Senator McGuire. Is there further discussion? Senator Dyson.
Yeah, thank you. I want to echo reinforce the remarks of the previous speaker. I'm delighted to see that this resolution, and we've done something similar for many years, but as it has a line here, the fourth whereas, talking about military veterans. And in addition to the kinds of injuries that the previous speaker talked about, we have returning vets suffering in essence a concussion, but it's not from a blow, it's from rapid overpressuring, as being in an explosive zone where ordnance or improvised explosives have gone off. And as was hinted at here before, many of these folks don't experience the symptoms for months afterwards, or those symptoms are not identified or separated from other things that are going on. And the military and Veterans Affairs is working on that, but I'm glad to just call attention to it. And I have a note of disappointment. As I've worked with these brain injury people for years, I've encouraged them to include in what they're interested in is the brain injuries from chemical insults. And here in this state, we have prenatal poisoning of children's brains at 5 or 6 times the national rate, certainly an avoidable brain injury, but it's a permanent one. Those children's brains are inhibited from developing because of the consumption of alcohol of their mothers. We call it fetal alcohol syndrome or fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. And you see some of these children, they will be here later on this spring and so on. You can tell some of them from the facial features, generally a very thin upper lip without a cleft in it, small eyes closely placed together, and so on. But there's a whole other segment of the population who do not have the exterior features, but in fact some of the wires in the brain were never allowed to develop because of the prenatal alcohol issues. And it produces a huge impact, certainly on the individuals, on those of us who have been foster parents or adoptive parents of those kids, and on the budget. And the children who grow up with fetal alcohol spectrum disorder are easily victimized. They make great drug runners, they make great hookers, and they're easily talked into lots of kinds of things.
and often go on also to be perpetrators. It's a sad, terrible tragedy that we lead the nation in, and it is utterly preventable. This legislature has taken great steps to deal with this issue. We've gone from having nothing in the state to one of the better programs for dealing with the kids who already have the problem in the last 10 years. Senator Stevens, federal Senator Stevens, got a hold of this and put about $5 million into our efforts here about 8 or 9 years ago. We've used up that money. The budget we will be looking at here in a few weeks continues that effort, perhaps on just a maintenance level, but I'm glad to see this administration also is continuing the efforts. So thanks for doing this, and just want to make all of us aware that we work, recreate, and represent a lot of people who are victims of these kinds of brain insults, permanent injuries. They need our help. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Dyson. Further discussion? Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Just a couple brief words in reinforcing and supporting the Senator from District November and her efforts, and I applaud them. But just to put a quick personal note on it, our oldest son, Chad's platoon leader. The most important about being a platoon leader is the people that work for you. And his task, just got back from Huntsville, Alabama, and he is in the explosive ordnance business. And his platoon members go out and disassemble and discover and all those sorts of things. It was interesting to me when I talked to him about that task. They have robots and they have a number of things, but unfortunately, a large number of these young people that had that task come back because of this syndrome.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Evans. Further discussion. The question being, shall Senate Concurrent Resolution 1 pass the Senate? Senators will please proceed to vote. Have all senators voted? The secretary will lock the roll. Do any senators wish to change their vote? The secretary will record the tally. The secretary will tally the vote.
19 yeas, 0 nays.
And so Senate Concurrent Resolution number 1 has passed the Senate.
Citations. In memoriam. Walt Sheridan.
Excuse me, Senator Wagner.
I apologize, but can we go back up the calendar introductions?
Without objection, we'll go back up the calendar.
I'd like to introduce the lady that runs our LIO. She snuck in here, and the senator sitting beside me, his head was in the way, so I couldn't see her over there. So, well, Allison Skogsdale, stand up, please. And Allison has been running the LIO in Kenai for more years than I've been around there. I think, 10 or 11 years?
Yeah. Or been there.
Well, been there. 21 years. So she's one of our better employees on the Kenai Peninsula. We all love her, and she does all the work that we can't get done. Sometimes helps out a lot. So thank you, Allison, for being here.
Thank you. Further introductions of guests. We'll return then to consideration of the daily calendar, Madam Secretary.
Citations. In memoriam. Walt Sheridan, in memoriam, Chief Philip Rounds.
Thank you, Senator Ellis.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the citations on today's calendars be adopted.
Thank you. Without objection, so ordered. Senator Ellis.
And Mr. President, members, for the information of the members, there is a special order of business citation on members' desks. So at this time, I move and ask unanimous consent that the citation be taken up as a special order of business.
Without objection, so ordered.
In memoriam, Wendell Harveston Spear.
Mr. President, I move approval of the citation.
Without objection, so ordered. Anything further on the daily consideration of the daily calendar or under unfinished business? Senator White.
Yes, Mr. President, under unfinished business, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent to be excused from the call to Senate from p.m. plain time February 26th until a.m. plain time March 2nd, and from p.m. plain time March 3rd until p.m. plain time March 10th for state and personal business.
Without objection, so ordered. Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. President. Under unfinished business, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that my name be added as a co-sponsor to Senate Bill 33 relating to the student loan program.
Without objection, so ordered.
Senator Wilkowski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Move and ask unanimous consent to be added as a co-sponsor to Senate Bill 29, an act naming the Capitol Annex the Thomas B. Stewart Legislative Office Building.
Without objection, so ordered. Senator Bernard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the call of the Senate on February 27th, plain time, to March 1st, plain time, and that would be for state and personal business, and also another date, which would be March 4th, plain time, p.m., to March 8th, plain time, p.m., for personal and state business. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Without objection, so ordered. Senator Terrio.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that I be shown as excused for state business from Monday, March 2nd through to and returning on March 8th.
Thank you, Senator Terrio. Without objection, so ordered. Senator Ellis.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused, not subject to a call of the Senate, Monday, March 2nd until a.m. plain time for state business.
Without objection, so ordered. Further unfinished business? Moving on to announcements. I'm sorry, actually under unfinished business. At this time, I'm making the following appointments. To the Pacific Fisheries Legislative Task Force, I'm appointing Senator Hoffman and Senator Stevens. Senator Olson will serve as an alternate member. To the Western States Legislative Forestry Task Force, I'm appointing Senator Stedman and Senator Wagner. To the Alaska State of Celebration Commission, I'm appointing Senator Stevens and Senator Wagner. To the Bond Reimbursement and Grant Review Committee, I'm appointing Senator Hoffman and Senator Terrio will serve as an alternate member. To the Interstate Compact for Adult and the State Council for Interstate Adult Offender Supervision, I'm appointing Senator French. To the Kinnick Arm Bridge and Toll Authority, I'm appointing Senator Huggins. To the Parks Bail Advisory Committee, I'm appointing Senator Wilkowski. To the Education Commission on the States, I'm appointing Senator Bundy. To the Alaska Aerospace Development Corporation, I'm appointing Senator Thomas. To the Exxon Valdez Oil Spill Trustee Council, I'm appointing Senator Hoffman, and Senator Passman will serve as an alternate member. To the Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education, I'm appointing Senator French. To the Statewide Suicide Prevention Council, I'm appointing Senator Elton and Senator Terrio. To the Citizens Advisory Commission on Federal Management Areas in Alaska, I'm appointing Senator Menard. To the Alaska Healthcare Commission, I'm appointing Senator Olson. To the Energy Council, I'm appointing Senator Huggins and Senator Stedman to the Executive Committee, Senator Wagner to the CLEAR Board of Directors, Senator Hoffman, Senator Stevens, Senator McGuire, Senator Wilkowski, and Senator Davis to the full council, and Senator French, Senator Olson, Senator Terrio, and Senator Dyson will serve as alternate members to the full council. Further unfinished business? Under announcements. Are there any announcements? Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just to let members know, just three committee announcements to remind members, and if they'd like to join us today in resources. At 3 p.m., we have an overview of the mining industry, and it's a joint with House Resources up in the Senate Finance Committee, Room 532. And there are some really exciting things happening in mining, new developments. Then tomorrow, the joint, our Energy Committee, our Senate Energy Committee, will meet with the House Energy Committee to continue our work toward a comprehensive energy plan. And we have some exciting presenters. I'd like to invite all members here to come in the event that they have time. David Hobbs and Jim Needle from the Cambridge Energy Research Associates will be here to share the work they've done in other jurisdictions. We have Daryl Smith with Black Lion Energy. And then we have Gwen Holdman, who we know is our own director of the Alaska Center for Energy and Power. And then finally, and that meeting is in Senate Finance as well. Thank you to the co-chairman of Finance at 3 p.m. And then tomorrow in Butrovich 205 at 8 a.m., we have a really exciting presentation on the Arctic and what that whole world looks like, an amazing future. And that's Mead Treadwell, who's the chair of the United States Arctic Research Commission, and I think it will be eye-opening. That's 8 a.m. in Butrovich 205. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Fassbender?
Mr. President, I would just announce that Labor and Commerce will be meeting Thursday at 1:30, hearing two bills, Senate Bill 23, which seeks to reinstate the defined benefit, and also under bills previously heard, Senate Bill 84, relating to ADA bonding limits and confidentiality.
Thank you. Further announcements under, yes, Senator Hoffman.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I'd just like to announce today at 12:15 in the Bells Room, the joint Alaska Legislative Veterans Caucus will meet briefly.
Thank you. Further announcements? Special orders. Senator Fassbender.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask for leave of the body to speak on our friends at Fort Wainwright, Alaska.
Without objection, so ordered.
It is with sadness that I report that three soldiers, three of America's best, from the 1st Stryker Brigade combat team assigned to Fort Wainwright in Fairbanks were killed in Iraq just 2 days ago, February 23rd, according to the Department of Defense. And those killed were Corporal Michael Main, 21, of Burlington Flats, New York, Specialist Michael Alleman, 31, of Logan, Utah, and Private First Class Zachary R. Nordemeyer, 21, of Indianapolis. And these soldiers were supporting Operation Iraqi Freedom when insurgents attacked their unit using small arm fire. And just want to make that announcement to the Senate, and our thoughts and prayers are with these men and their families.
Thank you, Senator Fassman. Senator Terrio.
Thank you, Mr. President. If I could have the leave of the body to talk about the close of public comment.
Without objection, so ordered.
Thank you, and thank you again to the members for passing the resolution the other day, making a statement on behalf of our body in the legislature opposing the TSA regulations that will apply to smaller planes here in the state of Alaska. My staff has put together a four-and-a-half-page letter that details the argument against the regulations with more specifics. I'd like to, and they took a copy of the verbiage around to your individual offices this morning, and I've spoken to a number of members here on the Senate floor. I'd like to hold this letter open for members of the Senate to sign on to until 2 o'clock today. The close of public comment is on Friday, and the comment actually has to be turned in by then. The letter will be sent in with a copy of the resolution, and I would also point out to members that the House on their calendar this morning had a separate House resolution to make the same arguments against the regulations on behalf of their portion of the legislative body. And so if you've not had a chance to look at the copy of the letter that was dropped off, I've got a couple more copies here to take a look at, or if you want to just stop by as we adjourn today and indicate if you would like a signature line to be put at the bottom of the letter, then it will be brought around to your office this afternoon for your actual signature so that we can get those sent in. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Terra. So that needs to be signed by 2 o'clock, is that correct?
Mr. President, I would like to get the signatures or an indication for anybody that wants to have a signature, their name on a signature page, so that we can get on with it and get it submitted in time.
Thank you. Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise and ask leave of the body to speak on the 2009 Yukon Quest.
Without objection, so ordered.
Thank you, Mr. President. On Saturday, February 14th, 28 teams of dogs and mushers left Whitehorse, Yukon Territory for the 25th annual running of the Yukon Quest. As you are aware, the Yukon Quest is Alaska's only international sled dog race, running from Whitehorse to Fairbanks with the start and finish alternating every year. This year's Quest drew teams from Alaska, Yukon, and the 48th and the lower 48, as well as mushers from as far away as England, Australia, Japan, and Jamaica. With four-time champion Lance Mackey skipping the Quest this year to focus on the Iditarod, there was no clear favorite. The first half of the race was dominated by William Clendon of Yukon Territory. Mr. Clendon is a tough fellow. He lost his leg just below the hip in a motorcycle accident at the age of 19. Now some of us find it difficult to climb the stairs from the second to the fifth floor. Can you imagine mushing 1,100 miles through temperatures as low as minus 35 degrees and clearing four mountain passes, each over 3,000 feet high, all on one leg? Mr. Clendon was overtaken by Sebastian Shimula at the top of Eagle Summit, a particularly difficult part of the race. Mr. Shinula of Whitehorse went on to win the race, first victory in five attempts. His winning team mushed down the frozen Chena River yesterday morning. He was followed 4 minutes later by Hugh Neff of UConn, resulting in the closest finish in Quest history. Can you imagine 1,100 miles, 10 days, and 4 minutes difference? The top placing Alaskans in this year's race were John Little of Kisilov in third, Martin Boozer of Big Lake in fourth, and Brent Sass of Fairbanks in seventh. As of this morning, there are 9 mushers who have arrived at the finish line in Fairbanks and 12 teams still on the trail. The Yukon Quest doesn't receive the same level of attention as the Iditarod and relies heavily on work and support of countless volunteers on both sides of the border. The Yukon Quest is uniquely a northern race, and I rise to congratulate Sebastian Chimura, this year's champion, as well as all the dogs, mushers, and volunteers who made this year's race another success. And I thank you.
Thank you, Senator Thomas. Further special orders, Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that I be granted the special privilege of the floor to talk about The Least Among Us.
Without objection, so ordered.
Thank you, Mr. President. I firmly believe that The Least Among Us often have the most to teach us. This is the 22nd year of the Key campaign. You all see the folks around the building. There was a decent turnout of legislators last night for the dinner, a decent turnout of legislators this morning for the presentation to the House committees and Senate Finance. And it's been 22 years that folks have been sending in the keys from around the state to fill up this big jug here that's seen better days. People have asked me, what is the significance of the key, that symbol on the T-shirts and the buttons? It really goes back to the founding principle, which was that the key to independent living and a life of dignity in the state of Alaska for Alaskans experiencing disabilities is supportive services. And we have our role to play in that. Many of you may know, or you will know this afternoon in your meetings, that the three priorities of the Key campaign for this 22nd year, first, the wait list. There are about 1,000, nearly 1,000 young Alaskans, many of them infants, some of them children, waiting for supportive services. The wait list really is intolerable. It's been described by some folks as the new institutionalization of these Alaskans who want to live in dignity. Nearly 1,000 kids on the wait list, and we can do better. The second is the bill I'm sponsoring, the other blue button, the rate review bill, Senate Bill 32. Nursing homes in the state of Alaska receive an annual, by statute, rate review to see if what they're being paid is keeping up with the true cost of care. There are about 700 Alaskans, mostly senior citizens and some adults with disabilities in nursing homes across the state. Our nursing homes, by and large, do an excellent job in this state. But with the retirement and aging of the baby boomers and this, what I call the silver tsunami that's coming, this big group of senior citizens in the state of Alaska, we will need our home and community-based services to provide the least restrictive level of care and the most cost-efficient level of care, because we can't all be in nursing homes in our declining years, Mr. President. That would bankrupt the entire nation and the state, for that matter. So we need our home and community-based services, and all this bill does, and we'll discuss this more later, is just say that home and community-based services deserve an annual review, just like we do for nursing homes in this state. And finally, the Infant Learning Program is asking for an increment this year. That's the program that works with parents as the first teachers and getting kids up to the most productive level developmentally that they can be before they go, disabled children go to, at the age of 3, into the public school system. And there's a lot of ground to be made up there in brain development and physical capabilities from birth to 3. So Infant Learning Program, I really recommend that to you all. Last year, Mr. President, a lady came into my office. She looked vaguely familiar. I hadn't seen her in 18 years. This was a lady that in 1986, when I was first elected to the other body, I was convinced to go on an infant learning home visit. And I went and had a great experience. Well, 18 years later, this lady shows up in my office. I thought I recognized her. She pulled out a photograph of a Marine serving in Iraq in his full military dress uniform. And she said, "Do you recognize this young man?" And I couldn't really place the young man, but thought she looked familiar. And she said, "This is the baby from the Infant Learning Program, from your home visit in 1986. Well, I guess it was 1987. He's 18 or 19 years old now, serving with distinction in Iraq." And I was just very moved and extremely impressed that with a little bit of investment early on, that child who could have been institutionalized in the old days might not have even made it. But due to modern technology and our supportive services, is serving his country with distinction. So Infant Learning Program really does pay off, Mr. President. I know that in my heart, and I think many of you do as well. So when the folks come around with their blue buttons, with their family members, it took a lot of time and money and courage to come to Juneau with DD children and family members, but they're here to tell their story. I would commend them to you. If you have keys that people drop off, feel free to bring them by my office or my desk here to collect in the bucket as a symbol of the fact that the key to independent living and living with dignity for those folks with disabilities, the key is supportive services. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator Ellis. Further special orders? Senator Ellis.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Friday, February 27th.
Without objection, so ordered.